Welcome to Late Talker Radio, the podcast that helps you navigate the early years when faced with your child having language delay. Packed with everything you need to feel empowered and positive about the future. Here's your host, consultant speech and language therapist of 20 years, Joanne Jones.
Hello and a huge warm welcome to today's podcast. So today is all about choices and using choices to help your late talking children. So choices are a fantastic strategy to learn with all children for lots of different reasons. And I think any parent should be giving children as many choices as possible. But choices can be given in ways that are helpful and ways that are less helpful. I always remember many years ago, probably when I was maybe just a student of speech therapy or potentially just after, and I was in a chip shop, a fish and chip shop, and a lady walked in with her 2 or 3 year old child and said to them, "Okay, what do you want?" Now, I don't know the background to this. Maybe they went there every week and maybe the child had a few things that they would choose, but this child just looked a little bit overwhelmed and kind of looked back at the mum and the mum said, "Come on, what do you want?" And I remember thinking, the child's so little, how are they going to choose from the huge variety that's here or even really know what to choose? And I wanted to kind of say to her, well, if you gave them an either or, so do you want chips or do you want chicken nuggets or do you want a fish or do you want chips, the child would have a much better opportunity to kind of make that choice. So choices can be done in a variety of ways. And if you've got a child who's struggling with language, it's even more important to get the level of how you're asking your child for choices right. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So first of all, let's think about why we offer choices. And there's lots of really great reasons for this. So it gives children an element of control. So it doesn't give them all of the control because we can give them a defined number of choices, but it lets them have the final say and makes them feel as though they are important and being listened to and have got some control. And young children, preschool children, but to be honest, all children really thrive when they have that a little bit of control. And a lot of behaviours that become negative are often because children feel out of control. And so it's really important to give them that feeling of being listened to and important and grown up enough to make their own choices. And that takes me to the second point, which it shows your child that you're listening to them, that you care, that you're interested in their thoughts, that you're not going to make these decisions for them, that you want to know their point of view, you want to know what they're thinking, and that you're aware that they have an opinion that might be different from yours. And this is a really great basis for communicating with children, because when they feel as though they have got a reason to communicate, it really encourages that to develop quicker. It also adds a step into the communication. So if you imagine the scenario of a child who's maybe 2 or 3 and isn't yet talking, often they kind of get their needs met by the parents or those close to them because they've developed really clever kind of non-verbal communication. And what happens is that potentially maybe the child stands by the fridge, and you know that that means they want a drink of milk. So they stand by the fridge and you present a cup of milk. That is a two-part interaction. But if they stand by the fridge, that's number one, and you give them the milk, that's number two. But let's think of it another way. So they stand by the fridge, number one. You know that they want milk, but you say to them, "Do you want milk or juice?" That's number two. They have to indicate what they want, whether it be milk or juice, that's number three, and you give them the juice, that's number four. So we've got a mini conversation starting here. We've suddenly gone from a two-part interaction to a four-part interaction, which is great because it's beginning to develop that conversational skill that's so important and so many children struggle with. lots of children who struggle with conversation, even if they've got lots of words, this is a great way to go back and start to build their conversation. And if your child is understanding more and has maybe got more language, you can then put another step in. So we've got number one, the child stands by the fridge. Number two, you say, do you want milk or juice? Number three, the child chooses the milk or the juice. Number four, you say, do you want it in a pink cup or a blue cup? The child chooses the pink cup or the blue cup. That's number five, and then you give the child the juice in the pink cup or whatever it is they've chosen, and suddenly your interaction has gone six ways. It's a mini conversation. So even with children who are maybe talking more but tend to not really respond, or lots of people will say to me, my child is talking but they're not conversational, this is a great way to start building conversations. It develops a deeper connection between you and your child, and that's because in those moments you are in the same place, you're on the same page, you're focused on the same thing, and your goals are the same. And so that is what makes us feel connected to another person. So by taking the time to listen and to respond and to offer opportunities to choose, we're really kind of connecting with our child and saying, hey, we get you, we're here for you, and we're offering you these choices within it. It also encourages talking. So imagine the scenario again where your child's not talking. They stand in front of the fridge, you give them the milk because that's what they always have, and off they go. Very little language needs to be exchanged in that for the outcome, which is the child getting the milk. But if you put in this extra little step, so they stand by the fridge, you offer milk or juice, your child might not yet be at the stage of speaking, but they've got an opportunity. You stop and you wait, and potentially that choosing will come, whether it's by pointing or by saying the word quicker, and it's going to really help their talking to develop. So when during the day could you offer choices? Oh my goodness, there's no end of possibilities of when you can offer choices. It's really just an awareness from the adult's point of view to stop and think, what choice could I offer here? So for example, you could offer, do you want to wear blue socks or red socks today? Do you want to wear this jumper or that jumper? If you've got a late talking child, you very much get into the role where you make all those decisions for them, because that's just how it's evolved over time. You know, they're not protesting, they're not kind of strong-willed or getting you to do what they want. And so you just kind of go on the path of least resistance, like we all do, and you make those choices for them. Maybe that you want them to choose what to have in the bath, which towel to get out with, dried with, which plate to have their dinner on, where to sit at the table. Everything is probably, every little action that goes on through the day, you could probably make a choice from. Now, some of it might bring up a little bit of resistance for you. You might think, well, we always do it like this. They have their own towel. I like them to wear the right socks for the right outfit. But I would ask you just to kind of hold that thought a little bit and think about what the outcome is that you're working towards for your child. And if their communication is of concern to you, it might be that actually some of these resistances around things that you've always done need to be readdressed, and you need to start to think, well, you know, yes, I prefer them to wear the socks that match, but actually what's more important is their communication, so I'm just going to let that go for now. The other thing is to offer choices even when you know the answer. So even if your child only ever drinks milk or only ever drinks water, offer the choice anyway, because it's really important for the children to have that experience. So you might know your child always chooses milk, but because I've said this, you give them the choice of milk or juice and they choose juice. And don't want you to override it and think, well, they don't like juice, they only like milk. And so just give them the milk anyway. It's really important to give them the juice. It might only be a thimbleful in the bottom of the cup because you know they're not going to like it, but they need to see the outcome of their choice. So they chose juice and you give them a little bit of juice. They may surprise you, they might like juice, or they might pull a face because they don't like the juice, in which case they've learned that their choices can sometimes not be the things that they necessarily want. And that's a really important lesson to learn. That's how we learn our preferences and how to communicate our preferences. The next thing is, how do we teach children choice? Because for some children, making a choice is really alien or maybe very difficult for them at first. So what's really important is starting in the here and now. So starting with a choice that's visual. Is it milk or juice? You can hold the milk bottle and the juice carton in front of them and they can make the choice visually. So they might look at the milk and you say, oh, you want milk, because they've looked. The next stage is they may reach out for the milk and you say, oh, you want milk, because they've reached out. The next stage is they might point to the milk. So the milk can be out of reach and they point up to you and they want the milk. They've made a choice that way. And then the next phase is that you would like to think that they would start to say, for milk or similar. And so it's got to be in the here and now. It's no good at this point saying, oh, do you want to go to the park or grandma's house? Because it's not there and it's not visual and it would be a much more difficult choice for a child to make. And it's important to model choices. So if you've got older siblings or if you've got a partner in the house or friends that visit, or you could even do it with yourself. So, oh, what should I have for my tea? I could have toast or I could have sausages or whatever it is. And I'm going to choose sausages. I'm choosing sausages and make that choice. So go through seeing them visually and making those choices. And so they get to see it being modelled. And then what you want to do is be able to make it more and more abstract. So then you might go on to having pictures. So you could take pictures of all the drinks your child has got the opportunity to choose from and stick those pictures on the front of the fridge. So it's a little bit further away now. It's still near the fridge, but it's not the actual object they're choosing between. Or if you have a snack cupboard, you could have the pictures of the snack on the front of the snack cupboard. It's not about holding, do you want these biscuits or do you want these raisins? The pictures are on the front and the child could maybe point to the one that they want. So they're making a choice before they're talking. You can also use signs, Makaton signs or sign along signs or natural gesture to help your child to choose between two objects. You then might become more abstract. So it might be that you're in the lounge and you say, oh, you like a drink, would you like milk or juice? And it's further away, it's in the kitchen, it's away from where you are, and the child would need to use another way of communicating. They couldn't point to the symbol. Maybe at that point is when you're expecting words or you're using a gesture or sign for your child to communicate that to you. So what do you do if your child doesn't initially choose? So what if tomorrow you decide, right, my child takes me to the fridge, I'm going to try this, and you get out the milk and the juice, and instead of just giving your child the milk that they want, you bend down and you say, oh, do you want milk or juice? And your child just doesn't do anything. What we want to do is, at first, communication starts unintentional. So your child may look at one or other of the drinks. Now it might be that because the juice carton is new and different and not as, or more colourful or just not as familiar to them, and they might look at the juice. And I would say at that point, oh, you want juice. Now, if they do something to protest, fair enough, I would go to the milk. But if they don't and they're just looking at the juice, I would pour them a bit of juice, because they're not intentionally at that point making a choice of juice. They're just showing an interest and looking at the juice. And what we're doing is we're honouring that looking as being a choice. And this is really great for children who have got any physical disabilities, maybe cerebral palsy or a genetic condition, which means that their physical development has been slower and they're maybe not pointing or reaching out, but they'll be using their eyes. And so we take it that where their eyes land, that's the choice that's being made, and we honour it. And if you do that again and again and again, and you might be thinking, well, they definitely don't want this and they're not making choices. What are you going on about, Joanne? This is not choice making. It's unintentional communication, and all communication starts like that in all children. And it's by responding consistently to it that we begin to build it into intentional communication. So it's only with the experience of us listening extra carefully with our eyes, seeing what the child is indicating and then responding to it, will the child realize that by looking at something, that's making the choice. Once they're looking, then we go for reaching. Once they're reaching, we can go for pointing. Once they're pointing, we can go for symbols and signing and then words. So it's a process, but it's something that you can start straight away with your child. You can then do things like a choice board. So it might be They can choose what they want for tea in the middle of the afternoon on a choice board, or they could choose which coat they're going to wear the next day for nursery on a choice board. So you can see how you can begin to build up your child's ability to communicate even when talking is difficult. And anybody who's followed me for a while or listened to me for a while will know that this is one of the most important things, because not only do children who struggle to talk have things in their head that they can't get across, or they might feel as if the world kind of happens to them, they also begin to see themselves as non-communicators. And we need to help them to realize that even without that speech being there just yet, there's lots of ways that they can send us messages, and that we are all eyes and all ears, and we're going to listen extra carefully to them and then honor what it is that they're saying. Now, don't be tempted to too quickly jump in with, oh, well, you can't have that. Oh, well, no, you can't do that. Oh, no, that's not for now. Because we want to really reinforce this early on. And it's really important to give children the choices and to honour those choices, to make them to feel as though it's worth communicating. And that's the same for all children, but it's particularly valid for children who are late talkers. They need to feel as if they can make these choices. So that was quite a quick 15 minutes on choices. I hope you found it helpful, and I hope you all go away now and do lots of choice making in your house. Do come over to the Facebook page and tell me how you're getting on. I would love to hear. Thanks ever so much, and speak to you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Please look out for the next episode coming soon. And don't forget to take a look at our show notes at joannejones.co.uk. See you next time on Late Talker Radio. Bye for now.